join us in supporting it. And as they say, put your money where your mouth is. Give us a donation. 617-253-8810 is our phone number. And we do have, earlier I mentioned, there's a long, long list of CDs and books and so on. I happened to notice that one of the CDs that I believe is still available is a Brazilian singer Marisa Monchi's recording called, now I can't remember what the title of it is, but for $25 only, you can obtain this fabulous premium. It's only one, so you have to hurry if you want that to be yours, but that is the one CD that struck me as a particularly Sferio-like premium that was available. In addition to that, we have the t-shirts available in different sizes and shapes and so on. That is to say, with short sleeves or with long sleeves, different shapes. This year we did something different here at WMBR, and we had you, our listeners, send in your designs for WMBR logos for the shirts, and we got a whole bunch of really interesting entries and ended up using many of them for the t-shirt designs. All of that you can see if you look on our website at WMBR.org.
And I hope you can support us, and I hope you'll, and to those of you who have made donations so far, thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy your gifts for pledging. And right now, I'd like to bring you some announcements. We have, every week we like to tell you a little bit about some of the events that are happening in the Boston area and around MIT, and Froy isn't with me today, but I'm going to do my best to do it in Spanish as well as English, so I hope you can forgive my unfortunate pronunciation.
But I think the important thing is that you're willing to do it, my dear.
So here it goes. So on Sunday, November 9th at 7 p.m., there will be something called Mesoamerica Resiste by the Beehive Collective Artists. And it's a talk about the latest project at the Lucy Parsons Center at 549 Columbus Avenue. And you can go to www.lucyparsons.org for more info. It's Colmena de Abejas Artistas. Presenta su proyecto nuevo que se llama Mesoamerica Resiste, Lucy Parsons Center in 549 Columbus Avenue. Gratis. Another event we have for you is going to be on Thursday, November 13th by Claudia de Cuellar, former municipal councilwoman of Aytuxtepec, El Salvador, and there's going to be a talk at 11 a.m. at the Berklee School of Music that she'll be giving at 100 Massachusetts Avenue, room 514. Again, this is this Thursday. And another talk at 7 p.m. at Tufts University in Eaton Hall. And Claudia will be discussing impacts of the current economic crisis on Salvadorans at home and in the U.S., as well as the next big elections in Latin America and El Salvador. And I know there's an election coming up there, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's good timing.
And habrá dos charlas el jueves, el 13 de noviembre, por Claudia de Cuellar, concejala municipal anterior de Aytuxtepec, El Salvador. Habrá una charla en 11 esta, está en la Berklee School of Music en 100 Avenue. 100 Massachusetts Avenue, El Corto, 514. Y va a estar una otra conversación a las 7 de la tarde en Tufts University, en el Eaton Hall, en El Corto 202. Y Claudia discutirá impactos de la crisis económica actual en salvadoreños y en los Estados Unidos, y también las próximas elecciones grandes en Iberoamérica y El Salvador.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for your pledges, the ones that people have, that you have made, and the ones that you're planning to make right now as you reach for that mouse to make that little click there on your screen. It's WMBR.org, and we appreciate anything that you can donate to us. This is the one time that we beg and plead like desperate little DJs, which is, well, what we are for the moment. Music for Human Beings is coming right up, right after us. So stay tuned, and thank you, everyone. And we'll catch you next Friday. Okay.
مرحبا إلى Music for Human. I am a دكتور جالس السكران. And with me tonight is PCP.
What's up, man?
Welcome.
Thanks.
Peter.
Yeah, I've been gone for a while, guys. I'm traveling the world a little bit. Well, really only Massachusetts, but it feels like a world traveling. Quite a few interesting sights. Felt like, you know, growing up here in America, you hear all about the Pilgrims and Plymouth Rock and, you know, the birth of this nation. And with the presidential elections coming to a close, I decided to travel around our one of the first places inhabited by Europeans over 200 years ago, just to, you know, feel the spirit, you know, just get out there and see what it was like, and try to re-experience what they felt before it got too cold. So I was looking around on the beaches and in the wooded areas of Massachusetts. It was very spiritual. I felt like I connected with the past. It was good. So now that the presidential elections are over and it appears as though Obama has won, I figured I'd come back and rejoin the circle.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you back.
Thanks.
And so your ancestry is from the area?
Well, no. I mean, my parents are actually ones of German descent and ones of Irish descent. So, I think they immigrated here like something like, you know, my great-grandfather, my great-grandparents, something like that, you know, a while ago. But I'm just saying, you know, when you're in America, you go through the school system, you learn all about the Pilgrims and their take on the history of America. And I don't know, I just felt a real strong desire to
explore,
look around, yeah, and explore. Yeah,
that's really wonderful. You know, it's. I think it's always beneficial to travel around and to connect with the past like that. And
yeah,
the Pilgrims, of course, there was a puritanical aspect to the to their migration. But I'm not really sure what came of the Pilgrims ultimately. You know, what was the result of the pilgrimage ultimately?
Displacing Indians? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, because something I've been thinking a lot about recently is this quality they call karma. And I really think that's an important thing. I've always found that, you know, I might find something comes to me easily, the fruit comes from the tree, and it's a very, very natural, very easy thing. But if I respond poorly by consuming a great deal of the fruit, or by not sheltering the tree from parasites, or you know, by not cultivating it and giving it the proper attention, that the tree begins to diminish and to die. And I feel like that's a simple, you know, karmic lesson there. And I feel like it, you know, it repeats quite often. So course, the metaphor I'm bringing by here with karma is that this week at WMBR we are holding a pledge drive.
Yeah, fundraising for the station, man.
And of course, you know, the reason I bring up karma is that I'm trying to share with you the benefits that you will experience. I've, of course, many of the other programmers here have mentioned the wonderful things that you will receive from the station. But to me, the most important thing is this karma that, you know, the station is acting in a way that you like and you cultivate the station.
Yeah, yeah. And so to that end, we have our cleansing spirit on the lines with us.
Yes, we have a cleric of purity who is prepared to bless the gifts that you give. And likewise, we have many items that the station will send you in response to gifts, but I would like our listeners to know that the two of us, Peace Child Peter and myself, will be blessing any gifts that that the station sends out in response.
That's right,
to
man.
The gifts. So, as usual, the number is 617-253-8810, and call in and let us know. You know, we'd also like to do a you know, guided meditation today and have our usual discussions. So call in whether you'd like to pledge or not.
Yeah, as always on this show, there's no pressure. But yeah, it'd be really awesome if you'd donate, man. One of the interesting things I found on my journey for this month has been that there are quite a few forests here in Massachusetts. The ones that were in California, at least in the southern part, they were very brown and dry and sparse. Infrequent, I suppose, is a better word. NorCal had it a little better, but here in Massachusetts, I mean, had actually an interesting vision in one of these forests. I was sitting cross-legged with my back against a tree. I had walked there in sort of a trance at night, and I awoke, found myself sitting there cross-legged with my back against this tree, and I didn't know what kind it was. I was just aware that there was this tree in front of me, and a bear, actually, in front of me. The tree was behind me, and I wasn't afraid. And the bear came up to me. Was a big bear. It looked like a brown bear, but I didn't know that they had those in the forests around here. And he put his nose to my forehead. And he licked me. And then he left. And I just sat there for an hour. What seemed like forever, almost.
Feeling that you had been anointed by the bear.
Well, I don't know. That's the odd thing. I was so deprived of any emotion at the time. You know, man? It was just like, I was there, and then the bear came, and then he left, and then I was there, and I was still there. It was, oh man, I don't even know, man. It was like, so I just sat there and I thought about that.
And it's odd because many species of bear are endangered.
Well, if they do that a lot, I mean, that would make sense.
That they are too comfortable with man, that they should be
perhaps
a little bit more,
yeah,
reticent.
I mean, don't people hunt bears or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
So weird, man. I mean, usually when I go into the forest, birds really like me. I've never had a bear encounter. It was odd. Yeah.
Just the solitary bear encounter.
Yeah.
Well, bears are usually very, very solitary creatures. They're not very social, even within, you know, among other bears.
That's what I've heard.
So, but it does make one wonder if somehow the bear was coming by and blessing you.
Yeah. Or just saying hello, if it was nothing so profound as a blessing. Although, you know, the more I think about it, the more I think it has to have been, because, like, you know, man, it's like a bear comes out of nowhere and he's just like, yo, what's up? And then he leaves. It's like, you're cool, I'll lick you.
But it's, I mean, it sounds like a very impersonal encounter.
No, no, man. It was like, it was deep.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, most of my encounters with the people I meet are less personal than simply being licked on the forehead.
Yeah, man. I mean, that really has a lot to do with, in human society, it's kind of unacceptable to put your saliva on someone else. Would you not agree?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, generally, you know, no one else wants your fluids.
Right.
Any of your fluids.
None.
Or your solids, I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, anything that comes from inside you or...
outside you.
Yeah, it's...
even hair. Like.
Yeah, right. But if you... you know, well, hair is special, right? While it's on you, it can be a wonderful thing, very beautiful, blah, blah, blah. You know, people like to kiss the hair, and but if it's found in the soup...
oh, that's bad. Or even on the floor, really. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, man. So, have I told you about my brother?
No, I met your sister.
Yeah, you met Penny, but... yeah, so... my brother, his name is Klaus, actually. He's the only not peace child.
Peace child Klaus.
Well, he's not a peace child. He was always a little different. I always wondered if it was because, you know, he didn't have the peace child. But yeah, my brother Klaus, he had a girlfriend early on, and while he was going to college, At Berkeley, I was living in San Francisco with him, and she would come over all the time. And it was Klaus and me, and a third roommate. And his girlfriend would be over all the time, Klaus's girlfriend. And his girlfriend would shed a lot of hair, really long hair. And so, from his door of his room, because we each had our room, to the door of the apartment, there was a pretty constant trail of long black hair from Melissa's forehead, or her head. So our roommate, John, thought that was extremely disgusting, you know? And I didn't understand it. I mean, it was just hair. You could sweep it up and it'd be gone if you didn't like it.
Well, another interesting thing is, of course, skin, right? I mean, while it's on you, skin is fine, but as soon as the skin falls off of you, it turns into dust and it becomes a really nasty thing.
Yeah, especially scabs.
Yeah, or dusty soup, you know? No one likes dusty soup.
No.
Yeah.
Even the association of when soup cools and solidifies a little, then you get the skin on the soup, and that's, no one likes the skin on the soup. Even the name skin, it's just...
sounds a little bit strange, but we love our skin, and they're, you know, on certain people's skin is very nice. So we're nearing the second third of our program, and I'm thinking maybe it's a good time to do a little bit of guided meditation, just to continue the flow of last week.
Yeah, man, I'm still feeling out of it. I think I could use some centering.
Yeah, we just experimented very briefly last week with 10 minutes of guided meditation, guided by, in part, Randy Taylor and myself and the folks that were in the studio with us. And it was really wonderful, really helped everyone center themselves for the end of the program. So I thought it would be good if we experimented with it again. So, as always, we encourage our listeners to put themselves in a safe, quiet place where they are unlikely to be disturbed for the next 15 minutes. And picture themselves in a meadow. In a quiet meadow in the middle of a large forest. The small clearing is frequented by many animals. And as you sit there, you open your eyes and lie back, and the sky opens in front of you, very blue, and the ground beneath you, very grassy and green. Occasionally a dandelion waves, and a very soft breeze begins to blow. You feel the grass move and your hair move, and the clouds start to laugh at you. Slowly you feel your spirit moving from one chakra to the other, beginning at the bottom of your feet and slowly making its way up through the first, second, third, fourth, the third eye, the sixth and the seventh chakra, making its way up your spine and through the top of your head. Like a single hair, it winds its way up into the sky, over the forest and through an infinite horizon.
You look down upon the world. You see the meadow you were just at. Your body is lying there, peaceful, comfortable, happy. You decide to drift away from it and explore and see where the flow takes you. You notice that below you, as you travel, there is infinite green grass, trees. Coming at you, infinite white clouds, sky. And above you, black space, stars. Start to drift higher, away from the green, out of the white, into the black. And you notice that it's getting cold. Your spirit animal comes, flying next to you. And you notice faintly in the back of your mind that he's always been there. And he always will be there. It's getting colder. Your spirit animal flies above you and gently guides you back down into the white, through the white, out of the white, into the green, into the warmth. Your body is far behind you now, comfortable, safe. You dive into the ocean, into the blue, deeper and deeper into the blue. Your spirit animal takes you. You hold your breath out of reaction, but you are a spirit. You don't need to breathe, you realize. And you let the water into your being, your spiritual lungs. And you notice again that it's getting colder, but this time your spirit animal does not seem to be there. You're in the blue without a spirit animal.
You feel extremely calm, very relaxed, as waves upon waves crash over you and yet don't seem to move you. You remember the need to breathe, and it seems irrelevant. The blue growing darker as you sink deeper and deeper towards the earth, returning to the center. Your limbs begin to shake, crying for oxygen. And yet you know you don't need it anymore. Water fills your mouth, your nose, your eyes, your ears. You sink completely, and slowly you become the ocean. Part of you tells you to struggle for breath, and the rest of you accepts the fate that you have selected with your spirit. Schools of fish pass you, nibbling your feet, running through your jacket. Very clammy. An eel makes its way up your pants. Very cold, writhing. Slimy. And your usual reaction is muted because you are in the bottom of the ocean.
You notice a large fish come. You can't tell what it is, only that it's big and it moves a lot of water. Notice it has large teeth, and at the same time as you are suddenly scared, you are also suddenly calm, because you know that your body is safe in a meadow on the other side of the world, in the green. The fish comes to you and bites you in your left hip. It pierces through your bone, and you notice that your leg is slowly drifting away. feel a panic that immediately subsides because you know that you don't need your leg. You're in the blue, becoming part of it, and your leg is of no concern to you. Another fish comes from the right, big, with large teeth, and takes your right leg from you. This time there is no panic. There is only calm, serenity. More fish come from right and left and take with them your arms, your torso, your neck. Your spirit is nothing but a floating head.
Your floating head glides in the water, moving nothing, being moved by nothing, simply witnessing the depths of the ocean. The pressure of the water all around you no longer concerns you, because you are only a head.
Begins to dissolve and slowly come apart, as if the very structure of the matter that makes up your spirit is coming undone. It feels as though you're becoming huge. Wider and wider spread. You're coming out of the blue, but you're staying in the blue. You're going into the green, but you're also in the white. And you're in the black, but you're also around your body. You feel very relaxed, and everything becomes skewed, blurred. And an overwhelming sense of calm comes over you. You suddenly realize that you're just lying on your back, meditating. You open your eyes, you look around, and you realize you are very calm, very serene. And at your own pace, you sit back up and you feel refreshed and relaxed.
So welcome back. It looks like while we were meditating, we got our operator notified us that we got some callers. So let's put them on the air. Try again. Hello, you are on the air.
Oh, namaste.
Marhaban, marhaban.
I am having a healing. And I'm lying here with my beautiful wife, and we feel like both of our heads have just disintegrated into oblivion.
Is it relaxing?
And we're free. And I had my hand in my pocket, and I found $3.18. And I want to send that to the station. If there was more in there, I would send it all.
Well, thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you very much for this contribution. I'm sure that karma will bless you with more money in your pockets.
Well, we want to thank you for the healing that we have every week.
It's a pleasure. We
hope that everybody can call in and share and let the flow happen.
Thank you, caller. Yeah, it's really, you know, we also need to thank the station, because it's because of contributions from people like yourself that we are able all to connect and to discover the journey, to walk together.
Form the circle, and yeah, man. It's a beautiful thing.
It's simple. It's so simple, and if all the meditators that follow this show, you know, sent their nickels and dimes, we could build an ashram around the station. And we could all come and meditate together.
Caller, it's a beautiful dream.
Well, my mind is just blown. I'm just experiencing cosmic drifting and bliss, and I just want to thank everybody there at the station and everybody who calls in the show and everyone that holds the space to make our journey so pleasant.
That's what it's all about, man.
And we thank you, caller.
Well, thank you. And good night.
Ma'a salama.
Namaste.
It's really touching, really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I'm glad he enjoyed our meditation so much.
As usual, I was meditating earlier today, and I think it was you earlier who mentioned that there is a new president here, or that there will be.
Yep.
There's
yep.
been recently an election. Because I noticed some unusual energy, some strange change in the vibration.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've been feeling that too.
I'm not sure what it signifies, but it's almost like a second mode. There is another beat there that was never there before.
Yeah.
You know, I have an image that I use when I'm meditating. I imagine that we are all standing upon a sea of sacred oil. Not like, you know, petroleum, but maybe olive oil. And we sit on a raft adrift on this sea. And we all move about on this raft and vibrate the sea, and whatever vibration we make, the sea returns to us and vibrates the raft. And so whatever positive vibration we emit, the vibration returns to us positive. So, for example, one of our recent callers, Dan from Brooklyn, he vibrated towards us $25, and we'd like to thank him. And we are sure that the universe will return this positive vibration to him.
Right on, man.
It's a sea of oil, so in my image, so the vibration will return. It's not lost. It's very viscous.
Yeah.
So, but that does not imply that it's difficult to make an impact. And just this new meditation was revealing this today to me, that someone young, someone who felt weak, had somehow made an impact recently. And I'm not sure if this is the new king of America, or if it's something else that happened sort of coincidentally. But it's a blessing, I think.
Yeah, man.
Another image that I've come across recently has been that this oil is the dressing in some cosmic salad. That all the things that we encounter, good things and bad things, and dry things and, other things, they are all elements in a cosmic, sort of salad universe. So that you may spend part of your life drifting on cucumbers and part on tomatoes, and the experience will... seem random, but it never is random. It's always a response to a vibration on the dressing. And in some cultures they call it karma. But this is, my current view, my image of the universe responding to you. Operator is indicating that we have another caller. Hello, you are on the air.
Hello there, now looky here.
Hello.
I've been trying to tell you that I'm so happy that Obama has been elected president that I'm willing to give you $50.
Oh, super. Well, thank you very much for
yes,
this, Lucky.
Yes, indeed. I think he can be the epitome of clean-spoken diatribe and all the rest of that stuff.
Well, yeah, Lucky, it's a wonderful coincidence, also, your name.
Yeah, evergreen.
Wonderful. So there's really a connection that you have there with the rest of the universe.
Really, indeed, the greatest of all time. He's the best man since Jack Kennedy.
Yeah, I hope that he fulfills all of the dreams that he's awoken within the, you know, my neighbors.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate you taking my call.
Well, thank you so much, Lucky. I will patch you back to our operator.
Thank you very much.
Ma salama.
Namaste.
So a beautiful sentiment from one of our listeners there, Lucky, who we hope is lucky.
We do.
Yeah, being somewhat interested in names and the names that we assign things, I often wonder if naming something influences its destiny. And obviously it must somehow, but how? In some regular way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure.
Does your name mean anything in Arabic?
Yeah, jalis means reclining.
Uh-huh.
So there is. I imagine that my late parents must have had some image that I was reclining on some sort of cosmic fabric that they, the cotton of destiny.
What about your last name?
Asakran, it means, well, what's an appropriate translation? Sort of the one who is self-unaware, I suppose. Maybe a rough translation. Which sounds really awful. You see, it's sort of a contradiction there. Like there is this duality that I'm reclining and unaware, and there's a paradox there. Yeah, I know a little bit about Mandarin, and this occurs quite frequently in Mandarin as well. That if you want to question, you know, ask a question about size. You know, then you say big, small.
Yes.
So if you'd like to ask, for example, how much money does something cost, you say big, big, small money.
Tasha.
Yeah, and that again, that sort of indicates size, but using both elements, and it sounds very contradictory. It's almost like a sword in a scabbard. The sword is very sharp, but the scabbard is not sharp. And yet, to maintain the sharpness, you must embed the sword in the scabbard.
Yeah, opposites.
Yeah. We have yet another caller. Our operator indicates to us. Marhaban, you are on the air.
Hey, how's it going? Just wanted to say, you know, I really like your program, and I'm hoping, you know, that people are respecting, you know, all that, you know, you add to the airwaves and everything. It's a nice change of pace from the kind of more frantic kind of messages that we hear on the radio.
Well, thank you so much, caller. Yeah, we are, you know, we are very privileged to be able to be on the air, and we also need to thank you and all the rest of our listeners who make our program meaningful.
That's right. Without more nodes on this circle, we would be incomplete. It wouldn't be the show that it is.
Yeah, it's great to, you know, 81 has, you know, such a diversity of programming, and it really adds, you know, to your show. I definitely haven't really encountered, you know, I've driven across the country multiple times, and you know, it's a very unique feeling, you know, especially in Boston, such a chaotic, crazy place, you know.
Yeah, precisely. We feel the rush, and that's often something we talk about, and it's good to be able to slow down and really take a deep breath and enjoy the life we are given.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't want, you know, I don't want to interrupt too much.
No, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. I guess part of my interest in calling was to maybe, you know, as a person that's been listening to your show, you know, kind of just getting into it now, over the last couple of months, you know, I listened to the great kind of discussion you had about tea and the different leaves and the different effects, you know, and I've heard it seemed like it was really helpful to a lot of people who have some serious illnesses and whatnot.
Yeah, tea has been very, very helpful for many centuries.
I guess it's just interested in kind of you know, maybe for all the other callers out there and people listening, but you know, it's probably a lot more than you think. The ethos of the show, the whole philosophy in terms of I know it's a lot of different ways of like healing and different spiritual things, but you know, kind of what you guys' goal is and whatnot, and trying to see where I can help.
Well, thank you so much contributing. I mean, the most basic way that you can contribute to our show is to call in and to listen every week.
To contribute to the dialogue.
And to add your thoughts to ours, we're of course constantly discussing our thoughts amongst ourselves. But I mean, a great way for you and any other listeners to contribute this week to the station is by calling in and pledging any amount. Even so little as a dollar. I mean, the entire station is run by volunteers, and we depend on our listeners to keep us running and commercial free and so on.
Well, it's definitely a noble venture, and it's great that there's so many different people that have that energy to prepare a show and to have a good idea for a show, and each week, you know, and bringing all that in is what's the name of your show exactly?
It's Music for Human Beings.
Music for, okay.
Yeah.
It's on every Friday at 7.
Yeah. It's great that it has that time, because you know, it's I feel like it's kind of where most people start shifting from work mode to the relaxation mode, and they don't necessarily realize that in that shifting process they're putting so much energy into relaxing in the most utopian, you know, fashion. You know, they're like, well, yeah, okay, man, I need to have all these things, you know, there's so many expectations for their time of relaxation that
there's a real expectation that when you have the time, you should relax, and if you're not, then you're being inefficient, and And yeah, that puts a huge psychological strain on a lot of people. And
that they are sort of working hard
being
relaxed.
Yeah,
and that's
a
pity.
It is.
Well, thank you, caller, for your patronage.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And keep it going.
Thank you.
Like it.
Namaste.
Maasalama. Yeah, another really... it's good to feel that we are, you know, that we have our listeners and that...
And that we're helping them.
And you know, I often feel in the studio that some vibrations coming back, that that we are having an effect, and that, you know, that it's uplifting, and I hope that that's the case.
Just feeling the oil move.
Precisely. Well, the hour rapidly has come to a close. Keep listening, and thank you from Dr. Janice Sakran.
And thank you from Peace Child Peter here.
Music for Human Beings is on every Friday at 7 p.m. here on 88.1 WMBR in Cambridge. Ma'a salama.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be